Welcome to Stutter Talk, episode 427 for November 4th, 2013. I am Peter Reitzis, and I'm thrilled to welcome back to Stutter Talk for a second unprecedented consecutive week, Dr. Robert Quisel. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm so glad you could come back again to join us because it's, you know, we didn't have you on for about a year. So now we get you on for two straight weeks. This is great. I'm a speech language pathologist and a stutterer in Carrboro, North Carolina. I think that's the first time I've ever introduced myself first as a speech language pathologist, but then I bounced it by saying stutterer, Bob, not person who stutters. And Dr. Robert, the expert Quisel, as he has lovingly been called by our listeners, is a professor of communication sciences and disorders at Western Illinois University. Bob is a person who stutters, a board recognized fluency specialist and a fellow of the American Speech Language Hearing Association. Bob, we have a big topic today. Roisin McManus of the B Team, she posted on the Stutter Talk Facebook page about a New York Times article titled Quandary of Hidden Disabilities, Conceal or Reveal by Catherine Boughton. Did you get a chance to read that?
I did.
Great. So let me just summarize that for us, and we're going to get right into it. The story in the New York Times, here's how it begins. Quote, a young woman with hearing loss wrote to me recently about being interviewed for a senior position in a major library system. And it goes on to say that she had a good interview. And then when they decided to move the interview to a noisy bar, she didn't say anything about her hearing loss. And then it got kind of weird because perhaps she wasn't being as responsive as she could have been because she was having trouble hearing. And she made the decision not to tell these prospective employers that she has a hearing loss, which is a hidden disability. And the article goes on to say, quote, what should have been done? During the interview process, she might have disclosed her hearing loss in a way that showed how effectively and creatively she compensated for it. When the drink suggestion was made, she might have said, I'd prefer we met in a quiet place so I could respond more easily. Would that be okay? But the woman's choice not to disclose her disability was understandable. In fact, Joyce Bender, who owns a search firm in Pittsburgh that helps people with disabilities, says that revealing a disability in an interview should be avoided if possible. And it should not be mentioned on a resume, she says, as doing so may mean never reaching the interview stage. End quote. Wow, I think this topic really hits on stuttering, which of course is or can be a hidden disability, right, Bob?
Yes, I think it's maybe a little bit different than hearing loss, some of the other disabilities they talked about in the article, but I think that there are a lot of parallels between stuttering and the other hidden disabilities as well.
Well, so there's a lot to talk about here, but I guess first of all, I saw this issue as very, very similar to a person who stutters. In fact, I'm not sure in just the example I just read if there really is that much of a difference, because with a hearing loss or with a stutter, the question is, when's your employer going to find you out? And in the case of the hearing loss, they found out pretty quickly because they tried to have drinks at a bar. And I guess they didn't find out. They just thought something was weird. And that could happen with stuttering too, right? You don't tell someone you stutter and then they wonder, well, why aren't you answering the phone? Why is your language a little weird? Which could be because you're changing words or avoiding certain words. What do you make of that?
Well, true. That is true. And again, that would suggest that it's possible to truly keep stuttering fully hidden, I guess, is maybe the way I would put it, and I think there certainly are people who can do that, and again the price of that is, as you say, is maybe your speech may sound a little strange because the language you use becomes a little bit twisted or whatever, but I guess when I was thinking about some of the things that they talked about in the article, these are things that really can stay hidden. In other words, the person who stutters, once they begin to talk, there's the risk that the stuttering is going to come out. In other words, the act of talking makes stuttering makes the risk of stuttering being shown possible. Whereas some of these other disabilities, like hearing loss, dyslexia, whatever, those are never shown, if you will. And so, unless, again, the person maybe had to write something or had to read something, I'm not really sure. So I think that I just got the sense that stuttering is just a little bit different, again, because when the person who stutters talks, then the disability there's the chance that the disability is going to be shown, and I think that the chances of having somebody have to talk in any sort of a situation are much greater than, for example, having to interact in a noisy environment or having to read something or write something or something like that. And so, even though I think that there are many parallels, I still think that it's in some ways it's just a little bit different. Not that there aren't a lot of things that we can talk about that are very, very similar in terms of how you might want to manage it.
Wow, so this is really exciting because we might disagree a little bit on this. I certainly passed as fluent for up until I was about 21 years old, 22, and many people have said to me over the years, did you really pass as fluent? And I can say, yes. Most everybody I knew had no idea that I stuttered. And the more I do stutter talk and the more I'm in the stuttering world, the more stutterers I meet who can pass as fluent or who can pass as fluent at different times of the day, like, for example, right, at work or at home or at school. And so I do think there's a great and then we always ask in the stuttering world, where are all the stutterers? Because, you know, if we're supposed to have 3 million or so stutterers in the United States, where are they all? And I just have to wonder if there aren't a lot more people passing as fluent than we know. But, I mean, even a lot.
Sure, right.
But, I mean, so a big topic here is, well, and what I like about this article is it really doesn't take too strong of a stance, I think, on whether you should disclose or not disclose your disability or... We don't even have to say disability. We can just say your hidden problem. They do talk to people who say in the article, you should not disclose your hidden disability. What do you think about that?
Well, again, I think that my rule of thumb for people who stutter has always been that, you know, if you think that there's a chance you're going to stutter during a job interview, let's say, you know, it makes sense to let the listener know that there's a possibility that you might stutter, because then they're aware that the things that they might see, there's a reason why they see those things. And I always say to people, I say this to my students, I say it to my clients, you know, if you don't tell people that you stutter, then they're sitting there, and if you're doing something with your speech, whether it's word switching or circumlocuting or having a block or having a repetition, whatever it might be, and they're sitting there going, okay, what's going on with this person? I can't understand why this person is speaking the way that they're speaking. And they're then sitting there trying to figure out, okay, what's going on with this person? Are they having a seizure? Are they having a stroke? Or is there something wrong with them or whatever? By simply making the statement, I happen to stutter some, and you may see a little bit this as when I'm talking to you, and the person goes, oh, okay. And the analogy I use all the time with my students is, imagine if you woke up one morning and you had a big zit on your forehead, okay, and you're trying to do something about it, but you just can't do anything about it. So you have this big zit in the middle of your forehead, and you're walking around all day. And you have the option of saying to people, you know, I woke up this morning with this big zit on my forehead, and I tried to do something about it, and I couldn't do anything about it, so it's just there, versus interacting with people, and they're looking at you saying, boy, he or she's got that big zit on their forehead. I wonder if I should say something to them about that or not. And the person that you're interacting with is feeling very uncomfortable because they don't know whether you're aware of this thing or not, and they're trying to figure out how to interact with you. And if you simply let them know, then they go, oh, okay, now I know, and now I can interact with this person in a very relaxed sort of a way because I'm not trying to figure out whether they know that they've got this thing going on or not. And so it's just a matter of just sort of it's just a matter of saying, you know, I'm going to let you know what to expect when you interact with me so we can then move beyond that and simply talk about what needs to be talked about, which is whether I'm qualified for this job that I'm interviewing for or whatever.
This is Stutter Talk. Peter writes this with Robert Kweisel. I'm going to comment on your comments in just a second. The article we're discussing is from the New York Times, September 21st, 2013, titled Quandary of Hidden Disabilities, Conceal or Reveal by Catherine Boughton. I agree with just about everything you just said, I think. And then the question I think many stutterers perhaps correctly ask is, well, if you then tell somebody about your stuttering so that they understand what's going on so that you can get to the qualifications of the job, what happens? And this article in the Times points out, unfortunately, some people are just clueless. So what happens if your prospective employer is clueless and thinks because you sometimes get stuck on your words, that means you're unintelligent or that you can't do the job or that you'll be an embarrassment in the business world or whatever. I mean, isn't that legitimate to be devil's advocate to worry about those things?
Sure. But I guess the thing I would ask is, would you want to work for somebody who thinks that way, who believes that way? Because if you get hired so let's say the person hides their stuttering and they manage to get hired for the job. But then it turns out that their boss thinks that people who stutter are less competent, they're ignorant, whatever it might be. Well, then you're working in an environment where you are going to be judged as being less competent, whatever stereotypes are held by that boss are not going to change just because you happen to hide your stuttering during the job interview. Hmm. Now you're working in an environment where you have this boss who thinks that you're this bozo because you stutter, and wouldn't it be better to know that, during the interview than to learn that after you get hired.
And of course, I agree with you, and that actually happened to me when I was in college and I had an internship. This was before I came out of my stuttering closet, so to speak, and got some help or a lot of help with my stuttering. I was passing as fluent, and I was accepting jobs. Took a job at Starbucks, and I took an internship at a law firm, and I was pretending to not stutter. And then I couldn't. They wanted me to answer the phone at the law firm, and I couldn't do it. And you know, or I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't let myself stuttering. And that just seems like, oh, this kid is lazy, or he doesn't respect the work we want him to do. And it's like, no, it's not any of that. I just stutter and I don't want to tell you about it.
Yeah.
So those are really tough spots to be in. And you know, I work now with a great group of people at my school, and I work with several people who have hearing loss, and they handle it in different ways. And you know, it is helpful for me when you work all the time with somebody who has trouble hearing and they've told you, I have a hearing loss. It's really quite severe on this side. So if you talk to me and I don't respond, it's not me being rude. It's that I just don't hear you. And it's happened a number of times. And the fact that they told me this, because I can imagine saying to myself, boy, this person just doesn't want to respond to me, or I say something in a meeting and they don't answer me and it's like I'm a ghost. But because I know, I mean, it's still a little frustrating, but then then you say, but wait a second, they can't hear. So I've actually like waved my arm to somebody a few times so that they knew I was about to start talking.
Yeah, exactly.
So Bob, I just shared a personal experience Do you have any that you can pull off the shelf of your Bob experience?
Well, this is not a personal experience for me. This is kind of how I view, or this is a sort of, I can understand how people who stutter can be frustrated sometimes. But I had a client a few years ago who had come to me because he was a graduate student. He was doing an MBA, I think it was, and he had gotten fluency shaping therapy when he was an undergraduate student, and he came to Western to do his master's degree. And he was reaching the point where he's going to start having to go out and do job interviews. And so he came to me and he said, he was getting worried because he felt like his stuttering was starting to come back or whatever. And so he came to me and we started talking about things, you know, he knew all the techniques and whatnot. He'd learned all the fluency shaping stuff. But the message he'd gotten was also that, you know, stuttering was bad and he had to do anything at all costs to be fluent. And that was what the goal of therapy was. And so when we were talking about what he might want to do during job interviews and I mentioned that, well, there certainly is a chance that you're going to stutter because you are a person who stutters. And so have you thought about the possibility of just saying to the interviewer when you begin that I stutter a little bit, but I've been in therapy, I manage my speech quite well, and so it really is not an issue. And you would have thought I'd said to this guy, well, why don't you just say to the interviewer that you're a pedophile, because that's how he reacted. It was it was the worst possible thing that you could possibly say. And it was like, no, it's just a matter of being matter of fact about this thing and simply disclosing something about yourself that is true, you know, and letting the interviewer know that you may be a little bit disfluent. This guy managed his speech quite well. He didn't have any major problems with his speech, but he was so bothered by his stuttering that he was unable to be willing to disclose his stuttering to anyone.
And of course, this gets to the issue of, well, is for each person who stutters, is it a hidden disability or is it something that is variable at different times that you might want to just get out in the open so that it's not weird when it happens? When I was very covert, looking back, it was very disabling to be that covert. But now that I'm very overt, I just don't stutter a lot of the time. So then the question is, well, when I go on a job interview, should I just not throw some stuttering out there so that they're not surprised by it when it happens?
Yeah.
I mean, like, imagine if I'm trying to think of a good example. There's not a great analogy here, but imagine if you're sitting at a job for 2 weeks, then all of a sudden you come in and the next day you're African American when they thought you were white, or you're white when they thought you were African American. I mean, it's kind of like weird. You're just not the person they thought they knew. I don't know. Is that a good analogy? That might not.
Well, I mean, I guess the thing I would think about, and this is not a good analogy either, but it'd be something like sort of epilepsy, where, you know, you're going to have maybe have seizures, but seizures happen only infrequently. But, you know, again, you're sitting there at your desk and you're working, you know, and suddenly, you know, been at your job for 2 weeks, and suddenly, you know, they find you on the floor and they can't figure out why, you know. And if you'd simply said, you know, going to the interview, you know, I do have seizures every once in a while, you know, then they would know that, okay, we understand why this person is laying on the floor, you know. Yeah. And again, that probably doesn't really work well either. And again, I'm not trying to offend people who have epilepsy, and I do have a seizure disorder. I'll mention that so that I can sort of say that I'm not saying this as somebody who doesn't understand this, but again, it's something to say that, you know, anything where it doesn't show all the time, and of course we've had shows about this as well, the fact that it's a disorder that varies, which makes it so frustrating. But I think just simply being open about it is not a bad thing, and but it's a very hard thing to do as well, because it's not there all the time. So what's the payoff, if you will? What's the sort of cost benefit of disclosing versus not disclosing? And that's often a very personal decision.
And in my life experience, I think people don't like dishonesty or perceived dishonesty. So if you're someone they perceive as a normal speaker, and then 1 week, 2 weeks, 2 months, 3 months down the road, you are stuttering, and I think I have been viewed as dishonest somehow because of the variability of my stuttering and how I can pass as fluent for so long, and then somebody you've known for years, they hear you get stuck in a really good block or two, and then they look at you like, do I really know you?
Yeah.
And that's one of the most awkward things for me about covert stuttering and about the point where I am now, where I don't stutter nearly as much as I used to, which is people sometimes think they don't really know you. It's, you know, there's been so many times in my life, I just wish I stuttered more.
Yeah.
Or stuttered more noticeably, I should say. there's an interesting part of this story where Catherine Boughton, the author, says that there are corporations or organizations that want to hire disabled veterans. And then they find out that when they contact an organization like a veterans group or something, and they get veterans sent to them with post-traumatic stress syndrome, then they go back and they say, quote, send me a veteran with a visible disability. Because the disability they get, like a post-traumatic stress syndrome, they don't know how to handle. But if you give them a person in a wheelchair, they know what to do with that. And I'm trying to put stuttering in there somewhere. Because, I mean, it's got to be weird when an employer hires you and they're paying you money and they ask you to answer the phone and you either won't do it or you do a terrible job of it. I mean terrible not because you're stuttering, but because you're doing all those things to not answer the phone or to not stutter.
Right.
Yeah. That's also, again, getting back to my very personal experience there.
But again, I mean, the thing is, I mean, whenever we talk about something like this, do you disclose? Do you not disclose? You know, is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Is stuttering truly a hidden disability or not? I mean, it's got to be through the lens of people's personal experience. It's, you know, one size does not fit all, and so we have to look at it in that way. You know, we're not trying to say that everybody should do it one way versus the other, but there are certainly possible benefits to being more open about your stuttering, because it is going to probably pop up at some time or another.
Couple quick points here. Catherine Boughton, early on in the article, she writes, quote, it's a hard decision to make. If you announce your condition, you risk being stigmatized. If you keep it a secret, you risk poor performance reviews or even being fired, end quote. I mean, that kind of sums it up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she makes a comment, and She writes that most companies are in compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And when I see that, and of course it's a New York Times article, so there's no citation, I really think, come on. I mean, if you're going to write that, you've got to give some evidence for saying that. And I don't see how most companies can be in compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, because what I understand about it is that until the lawsuits are brought, you really don't know what the Americans with Disabilities Act means. So it's kind of a law that requires people to get angry and to sue.
Yeah, I think when she says that they're in compliance, they've posted all the right notices. They talk about, in other words, it's you know, being in compliance just means that you're sort of making it look like you're doing the right things. I think you're probably right. Again, not wanting it to sound too cynical, which is hard to do, but you know, just the idea that you know, people can make it look like they're doing the right things, which is pretty much what would be being in compliance would suggest. And again, if you fall out of compliance, that's when somebody files a lawsuit, and that's when we really learn how much somebody really is in compliance or not. And again, the idea of, you know, the woman that was talked about at the beginning of the article, she may have not been hired for the job, not because of her hearing loss. There may have been other valid reasons why she wasn't hired, or there may have been other candidates who were more qualified than she was for that job. But, you know, we will never know based on the story whether the reason she was not hired was because of her hearing loss or for some other reason. So, you know, it's there's always, you know, multiple aspects to any story.
Yeah. And I can speak from my perspective, and I have to assume you're in a similar boat. But, you know, where we are with our lives now, we're not hungry, we're not in danger of losing our homes. And if we were to go on a job interview and not get the job offer, we would be okay. But I think there are stutterers out there who really do have to worry about the next paycheck. I do too. Oh, yeah. I have two young children and health insurance bills and a mortgage and car payments and all that. But, you know, I would be okay if I got turned down for a job. But, you know, we had Kelly Snow on the show, who's a reporter who stutters, and he said something like he interviewed for something like 30 plus jobs and was turned down for every one of them consecutively.
Uh-huh.
That's got to be really tough.
Oh, sure. And again, I mean, I hope that we're not sounding like we're being flip here or something like that again, because, again, this is serious. But as I say, I still think that if somebody were to be hired, if somebody were to not disclose their stuttering, get hired for a job, and then after the fact find out that they were working in an environment that was not tolerant of stuttering, that they were going to be – that their life was going to be miserable because they stuttered, again, it just seems to me that I'm not sure if the cost-benefit there really balances. You know, as I say, I think that certainly if somebody needed a job really, really badly and the only way they could get the job would be to hide their stuttering, certainly I wouldn't judge that person in any way, shape, or form. But just sort of hope that there'd be other ways or other avenues that would make it possible to get a job that your stuttering would be accepted and tolerated, and you'd be happy in your job, and things would work out.
You know, I just popped into my head thinking of a relative I have in the West, in either Wyoming or Montana, and he lived his adult life and didn't tell any of his neighbors or anyone he knew that he was Jewish. And he basically said to me, look, if you're going to live where I live, you really don't want to be the only Jew in this area. And, you know, I think about that a lot. And I can't say it's the right decision for me, but for him, he really thought he might be in physical danger. He really believed, and this is the United States of America, and he felt that being Jewish where he lived might not be healthy, that he could get hurt or killed or something awful could happen, or just discrimination of some sort.
Sure.
I think about that with stuttering, because I just want to say, be true to who you are, be proud of who you are. But sometimes when you're true to who you are, you don't get the result that you would ideally want. Complicated stuff, huh, Bob?
It is. Things are always more complicated than they seem, or that we'd like them to be. That's always the way it is.
I mean, it would be great to end this show saying, Bob, be true to who you are, stutter loud and stutter proud. Because in my bones, that's how I feel. But I also understand, I understand that it's not that easy. Any last thoughts, Bob, before we close this out?
No, as I say, I think that there are times when perhaps trying to hide your stuttering is not the ideal thing. But sometimes you say, I'm going to cut my losses here, and I'm going to sort of do a little bit of word switching to sort of help things to move on. And although that's not what we really want our clients to do, that's not what we want to do as people who stutter. There's times when, again, looking at it from a cost benefit perspective, it's like, at this point, maybe it's just going to be quicker and easier to maybe keep things a little bit hidden or whatever. But we do want to try to stutter loud and stutter proud as much as possible.
Yeah, I totally share those sentiments exactly. The article we're discussing is from the New York Times by Catherine Boughton, Quandary of Hidden Disabilities, Conceal or Reveal. You can find a link to that at stuttertalk.com, episode 427. And just a reminder, if you want to show Stutter Talk some love, go to iTunes, do a search on Stutter Talk, and leave us a review. It helps more people find the show. Bob, I hope I don't have to wait another year to get you back on Stutter Talk.
I hope so too. So, okay. Peter, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.